We're going to have our reading from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 18. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land and the Lord your God that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's good to be with you here again. And I can hear, I think, that the microphone is working all right, isn't it? Thank you, Mark. The title that we have today, according to the newsletter, is Making Tracks. Making tracks, which fits in, of course, with people journeying along through the desert. This winter, with all the snow that we had, one of the side benefits, if you like, was the fact of tracks in the snow. I'm sure I read somewhere or heard that a burglar was actually caught because he burgled in the snow and the tracks were found, which is kind of elementary. Do not go burgling when it's snowing. But when it was half term, my other grandchildren were staying with me and there was still enough snow for them to go looking in the woods for tracks of all kinds of animals that they imagined were there. We didn't actually find any dinosaur tracks, but they were hopeful. And it reminded me of that Winnie the Pooh story. Do you know it? Where Piglet comes across Pooh Bear, solemnly studying the snowy ground and saying that he's tracking something. What? Asks Piglet. Oh, says Pooh, do you think it's a woozle? And they continue on. And soon Pooh is even more puzzled, because there seem to be two animals now, and they walk on further, following these two animals in their tracks, and suddenly Winnie the Pooh stops and points excitedly. Look, he says, there are three animals now that we're following. Piglet was rather frightened at this. Is it another woozle? He asks. And then, as they go on, a fourth track appears. Piglet suddenly thinks of something urgent that he has to do at home, because he can't face the idea of any more possible woozles or whizzles or whatever they might be that are round the corner waiting for them. Then Christopher Robin calls out to Winnie the Pooh and says, what are you doing, old thing? First you went round the trees by yourself. Then you went round them again with Piglet. Then Piglet and you started going round again. Wait a moment, said Pooh, and sat down and thought in the most thoughtful way he could think. And then I think it was that he said he was a bear of very little brain. Because, of course, it was their own tracks. They were going round in circles, and so they were following their own tracks round and round. It must have seemed sometimes to the Israelites in the desert that all they were doing was wandering in circles. As they journeyed, there were lots of stops and starts, and perhaps sometimes they came on their own tracks, even if they didn't think it was a woozle. That going round and round. But now, finally, they had stopped their wanderings and they had finally found the promised land. But going into it was actually rather scary. In fact, earlier on, they had refused to cross over when Moses told them to. You know, they sent spies out to see what was there, and they brought back all these wonderful fruits. But they were still too scared, because as well as the wonderful fruits, they said there were giants. The people there were really terrifying. And so they wouldn't go. Now, again, they're worrying. They are feeling that although life hasn't been very good wandering around in the desert, they don't know what it's going to be like when they get into this other land, and they rather think that everything will be worse, you know? Nothing will ever really work. And first Moses, and now Joshua, told them. The crucial thing to remember is, as we've heard all through our first part of worship, whether in their wandering in the wilderness or whether in their settled new land, God would be with them. That was the thing that they were to remember. God had been with them when they were going round and round. God would continue to be with them in their new existence when they were to organize things and make laws and live in a much more settled, organized way. But God was still the same God who would be with them in this new situation. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that's an appropriate point to fast forward into the New Testament, to remember other journeys, other wanderings. Jesus and his disciples travelling around the hills and villages and towns of Israel, Palestine. At first, maybe without a particular goal, just going wherever he was needed. But then drawing nearer and nearer to Jerusalem. And last week, we remembered that Thursday in the upper room, the pain of Friday, and then the celebrations of Sunday, the indestructible life that Jesus gives us. Each gospel writer tells the story slightly differently. And this is part of Matthew's account of what happened, just part of it. When the women went to look at the tomb, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." And of course, a little further on, Matthew's gospel ends with those famous words, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." It's the same theme over again, isn't it? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. It's interesting how this encounter echoes that the call in Joshua. Again, we have in both cases, it starts by saying, do not be afraid, or in Joshua, do not be terrified. First, do not be afraid, I am with you. And then in Matthew, do not be afraid, he has gone ahead of you. It's interesting that in both cases, this call, do not be afraid, comes not earlier on when there are real things to be afraid of, like hunger and thirst in the desert, like the terror of the cross, the brutality of the Roman soldiers. That isn't when they're told not to be afraid. No, this call, do not be afraid, comes just as everything is being made new and hopeful. The Israelites arrive at the land of milk and honey, grapes and figs. And then, much later on, the disciples have discovered that the tomb is empty. That's when the call comes, do not be afraid. At these seemingly good points. It seems strange, but it reflects the fact that although a new start sounds promising, it can actually be quite difficult to grasp. God calls the Israelites to a more fruitful, productive, and ultimately enjoyable life, but they are afraid of what it all might mean. This settled, organized life after the wandering nomadic one. One of the current election slogans, you might have noticed, is about change. Assuming that this will appeal to people, that change is what people want. And quite often we do feel as though we do. We say, oh, it would be lovely to have a change of scene. It would be lovely to get away and have a change. And sometimes with politics, it seems like that. Let's have a change. Things have got into a rut. MPs have fiddled their expenses. There's an appeal of something different that might go on. But when it comes to it, human beings may seem to want change, but actually we're very resistant to change very often. You know, we tend to sit in the same places. We tend to walk the dog the same way round the wreck, drive on autopilot to familiar places. We may watch the same television programmes. We feel irritated when supermarkets change things round and we can't go in and just find the thing where it always was, you know? Change is not always welcome. One of the biggest talking points that we had in the church in Milton Keynes was when we changed the chairs round so that instead of being like in rows like this, they were in a circle. That got people talking. And there was a lot of resistance to change. It sounds attractive, but when it happens, we don't always really relish it. Now, the people of Israel faced much, much bigger changes than these odd things. It was an enormous change from being a nomadic people to being a settled agricultural people with all these laws that were lined up for them. In many ways, it would be a better life, but it was so different. And they were afraid. So through Joshua, God had to tell them to be strong and courageous, not to be frightened or dismayed, for he will be with them wherever they go, whatever happens. And then we think of the disciples. For them, and it's enormous change. We're so used to the story. We come to it every year at Easter. We're so used to it. We just don't realize always how amazing it was for them and how different it made life seem. They had a change, not so much in their surroundings and circumstances, but in their whole outlook, their understanding of life and death. Something had happened that was so completely new that although it sounds comforting, it was actually terrifying for them. And it's going to take over their lives too, isn't it? It's going to propel them into doing and saying all sorts of things that they never knew they would. Easter is, above all, a time of life and hope. But we have to recognise that new life can be scary. Even though we have hope in the future, it's still unknown for us. And that's not always easy. So it is vital that we remember that phrase that is so central today. I will be with you wherever you go. And coupled with it, we add that phrase from Matthew. Do not be afraid. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. He's not only with us, he's also ahead of us. I'm sure you know that poem, Footprints, which really fits with the theme of making tracks, where the author asks why at some points there is only one set of footprints. Where are God's prints beside him? And the answer comes that there's only one set of prints because that's the point when I carried you. And we may think of our footprints being accompanied by God's beside us. But also, in the light of the gospel, we may also think of the straps stretching ahead of us, that we are following in the footsteps. They stretch ahead of us into the distance that we haven't seen yet, but God is already there. He has gone ahead of us. We needn't fear the future because he is already there. Sometimes other people think that Christians live rather in the past. You know, old churches, old Bibles, stories of long ago. And a child who was asked, "Does God understand computers?" said, "Oh no, because he thought God was to do with the olden days, not now, let alone the future. And I think sometimes people do feel that God is not to do with modern life and all the kind of developments and changes that take place in modern life. And we too, we can almost subconsciously assume that there are other areas outside God's presence. I remember an industrial chaplain who once said that his work was, quote, to take Christ into industry. Think about it. Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. Christ is already there. You don't take him into the factory or the workplace. He's there already. The chaplain's job was to uncover what he was doing, to point to him. We can't take him. We have to follow him where he already is. God is not only with us, he's ahead of us in every situation, even the most unlikely ones. We can't go anywhere that he hasn't been before. And that applies not just to unlikely places, but to all kinds of new places, new jobs, new schools, new homes, new groups, new friends, new hobbies, all kinds of experiences that we might not have had before. But God is ahead of us, there, in them, with us. Facing difficult things, enjoying happy things, all these different and new things, God is there ahead of us, waiting for us to be with him in them. And at Easter, we focus on the fact that Jesus has gone ahead of us, even into death and into a new life that he will help us to share. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And now we will come to our prayers. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that in every generation you call your people to put their trust in you and to follow into new experiences and along unknown paths. Help us to be ready, we pray, to respond with courage, knowing that you are always going ahead of us and will be with us on the way. As we pray for ourselves, we pray for other people, especially any who at this time are faced by new situations. We pray for those who are eager for change and for those who are dismayed by the thought of it. Praying for your help in all the challenges that come. As we remember today, the people of Israel starting a new life. We remember how they set up laws and frameworks for their life and forms of government. And we pray for all those responsible for this today. We pray for those who are candidates in the coming election and for the issues that are discussed, that decisions may be made for the welfare of the whole country and for justice and peace between nations. We pray for other governments across the world, all the different ways in which people organise life together. We pray for fairness and for good leadership. Especially today, we pray for Poland in the shock of the aeroplane disaster, the death of its president and so many others. We pray for those who are left and for courage and wisdom for them in facing the future. as we remember before you the wider world, we remember too the concerns near to us, people whom we know and who we pray for now. We remember all who are unwell or in pain, those who are anxious and overburdened, others whom we care for, whom we picture in our minds. And we give thanks for those who are enjoying a break from routine, and for all those at spring harvest with the opportunity to make new discoveries of faith and new steps forward. Guide us in all our journeying. Help us to follow in your footsteps and lead us through death to life, knowing that you are with us to the end of the age. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We bring our prayers together in the prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.